Let's open our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to be looking at Ephesians chapter 6 verses 10 through 11 this morning. I realize that this is a familiar section of Scripture. As you look at Ephesians chapter 6 verses 10 and 11 with me this morning, the overall context really covers verses 10 through 20. But this morning, we're simply going to be focused on verses 10 through 11. As you know, this context has to do with the Christian's armor, the Christian's warfare that we are in. And so this is a familiar context, but it's a context that we need to consider because it can help us as we live the Christian life. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says beginning at verse number 10. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." And then Paul would go on to talk about that Christian armor. But as I said, we're really focused on verses 10 through 11, where we're encouraged to take a stand, where we're encouraged to be strong. Now, to really help us see what Paul is saying in Ephesians 6, verses 10 and 11, in order for us to put our finger on the pulse of what is being said, I think it's important to go back to the very beginning of this epistle. If you would go back to Ephesians chapter 1. As you're looking at the book of Ephesians, you have the doctrinal section, chapters 1 through 3, that talk about our identity in Jesus Christ. Because we are in Christ, Paul is going to list out those blessings. Because we're in Christ, we have spiritual blessings, Ephesians 1, verse 3. Because of our identity being in Christ, verse number 4, we are chosen in Christ. We're talking about being a part of the family of God. We might say it like this: God chooses those who choose to obey Him. He has chosen a kind of individual that He would save. A person who obeys from the heart that form of doctrine, Romans 6, verse 17. Again, speaking about our identity, when you drop down to verse number 5, we learn that we are God's adopted children. Again, who we are in Christ. We're a part of the family of God. In verse 7, we have redemption in Christ. Still in verse 7, we have the forgiveness of sins. And so Paul's going to list out those blessings that we have in Christ. Because we're in Christ, we are God's blessed people. God pours out these blessings upon us. Still looking at the doctrinal section, as you go into Ephesians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul continues to talk about the salvation that we have in Christ. And salvation is a wonderful gift that comes from God. And we see in Ephesians 2 verses 1 through 10 how God can take one who is dead in sin and make them alive in Christ Jesus. That person becomes a new creature in Christ Jesus. That person's been redeemed. And so Paul in chapter 2 talks about salvation. And he continues to elaborate on salvation in the doctrinal section in chapter 3 as he talks about that mystery which entails our salvation. When we come to chapter 3, we learn that God would save the Gentiles. Salvation was also given to the Gentiles. And you see how that was carried out in the book of Acts. It started in Acts chapter 2 with the Jews. But as the gospel continued to be preached, it was then given or handed down to the Gentiles. We see Gentiles obeying God's plan of salvation, being identified with Jesus Christ. And then we come to the end of chapter 3, and Paul ends with a doxology, a burst of praise in verse number 20 and verse 21 when he says, "Now unto him that is able to do abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory." Notice that, the burst of praise. Unto him be glory. And so chapters 1 through 3 cover the doctrinal section of the book, which speaks about our identity. But then we come to chapter 4, and you'll see this transition in chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, that is a key term because it's going to begin a new context. As you look at the word therefore, it's actually pointing you back to the previous chapters, the doctrinal section that speaks about our identity. Now we come to chapter 4, Paul's going to get very practical. Because you're in Christ, because of the position that you have in Christ as God's adopted children, as God's chosen, those who have been blessed with all spiritual blessings, this is how I want you to live. Does it matter how we live as New Testament Christians? Absolutely. Now that we're in Christ, we cannot do whatever we want, according to Galatians 5, verse number 17. God has expectations. God has requirements that He wants us to live by. Paul is going to talk about that in Ephesians chapter 4 through 6. In chapter 4, he encourages us around verse number 17 to not live like the heathen world, the ungodly world, who have their mind darkened, who are alienated, separated from God. And Paul says in verse number 20, if you live like the ungodly world, the unredeemed world, listen to what he says in Ephesians 4, verse 20, "For ye have not learned Christ." If we've learned Christ, we are going to live according to our identity. Who, because of who we are in Christ, we come out from among the world. And Paul continues to talk about being imitators of God in chapter 5. In chapter 5, verse 1, "Be therefore followers of God, imitators of God." When we go to Ephesians 5, verse 8, we're encouraged now as children of God, who were sometimes in darkness, but now are children of the light, to walk in the light. The Apostle John in 1 John chapter 1, verses 7 through 10, encourages us to walk in the light. Because we're in Christ, we don't allow ourselves to live like the world. We are imitators. We are followers of God. If we're in Christ, as you continue to look at chapter 5, we see that we are to be filled with the Spirit, verse number 18. Don't misunderstand what Paul is saying when he says that we are to live a Spirit-filled life. Paul isn't saying that the Holy Spirit is going to directly work on our hearts and guide us. That's not what he's saying when he's saying being filled with the Spirit. To be filled with the Spirit is to live by the Spirit's instructions. In fact, all you have to do is continue to look at the context, and if we live a Spirit-filled life, you're going to see these three points. If we live a Spirit-filled life, we're going to be a true worshiper of God, verse number 19. If we live a Spirit-filled life according to the Spirit's guidance, the Spirit's instructions, verse number 20, we're going to be a thankful person. We're not going to murmur and complain about everything. We're going to give thanks unto God. And then as you continue to look at chapter 5, even going down into chapter 6, if we live a Spirit-filled life, then we're going to be submissive. And Paul talks about the different roles between husbands and wives and children, masters, slaves. We're going to live a life of submission, just like Jesus, as He submitted Himself to His Father's will. But then that brings us to chapter 6, verses 10 and 11. And from those verses, we get this idea. It's not going to be easy. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. It isn't going to be easy. You're going to need strength that you don't have. Underline that. Get that point. You're going to need strength to live the Christian life that you don't have on your own. The strength that we're highlighting here in verse number 10, it comes from only one person. The strength that we need to live the Christian life comes from God. It comes from the Lord. And that's why Paul says in verse number 10, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. For those who are members here at Lake Country, we're beginning a series of lessons from Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 11. This morning we want to consider the implication of what the Apostle Paul is saying in verses 10 through 11. The implication. What is the implication of what Paul is saying when he says, be strong in the Lord? The implication is this. It's very straightforward. There are going to be challenges as you live the Christian life. In some ways I'm old, some ways I'm not. But I do know that life can be challenging. I know that life is filled with challenges. And I believe that's exactly what God wants us to understand about this Christian life. It's not going to be easy. We're going to have to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. We're going to have to be serious about who we are as the children of God. Because of our identity, because we belong to Christ, there are going to be certain challenges. Clay, what challenges are you talking about? First of all, there's the flesh. First of all, there's the flesh. There are fleshly impulses that go along with being human that we all struggle with. Listen to what Peter says in 1 Peter 2, verse number 11. We are to abstain from the fleshly lust which war against the soul. Turn back, if you would, to the book of Galatians. And as you consider Galatians chapter 5, I want to begin in verse number 16, because this context of Galatians chapter 5, beginning at verse number 19, really sheds light on the point that we're making. We're going to be challenged in this life because of the flesh. In fact, if you go back to verse number 16 of this context, you're going to see that conflict, that spiritual warfare that is going on between the flesh and the spirit. It reminds me of what Jesus said in Matthew 26, verse number 41. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And we see why the flesh is weak. We see that these things that Paul will list out in verse number 19 appeal to the flesh. And so Paul begins the context of Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, by saying, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And you see that warfare that is going on in verse 17. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. Now verse number 19, you see the elements, we might say, the elements of the flesh. Verse number 19, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. Listen to the list. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and notice the language, and such like. And then Paul ends in verse number 21 that those who live that way will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. This is how people who are unredeemed live. This is how people who are not a part of the kingdom of God live. They live according to the flesh. Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 9 through 11 is essentially going to list out these same things. And he makes the same point. Those who live this kind of lifestyle will not inherit the kingdom of God. That's why it can be challenging to live the Christian life. Because of the flesh. And then number two, there's the devil. Now the battle becomes more fierce because of the devil. And listen to what Paul again says in Ephesians chapter 6. Don't lose sight of it. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles, the schemes of the devil. That's why the Christian life can be challenging. Because of the flesh and because of our adversary, the devil. Peter describes him as a roaring lion that is walking about, seeking whom he may devour. Beware of the devil because he desires to have you. Luke 22, verse 31. That's what Jesus told Peter. He will sift you as wheat. He's the great agitator. He's going to shake you up. He's going to see if you're made of anything, spiritually speaking. Be strong in the Lord. Resist the devil. Fight the good fight of faith. Go back to what Paul said earlier to these good brethren. And in Ephesians 4, verse 27, where Paul says, neither give place to the devil. Don't give the devil an opportunity. Don't provide him a landing strip in your life because he'll land there, he'll camp out there. Sin is at the door. It lieth at the door. Read Genesis 4, verse number 7. That's how serious this is. And when you read verse number 10, when you get down to verse number 12 of Ephesians chapter 6, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Friends, that is serious stuff. And that's why the Christian life can be so challenging. We are at war, and the war that we're speaking of is not a physical warfare. It is a spiritual warfare. Don't give place. Don't give the devil an opportunity to work in your life. Be strong. How do we give the devil an opportunity to work in our life? By making provision for the flesh. Romans chapter 13, verse number 14, Paul says, make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice the difference. Don't make provision for the tempter to work in your life. Remember, God is not the tempter. James 1, verses 13 through 15. The devil, Matthew 4, is the tempter. We see him tempting in Genesis chapter 3 in bringing sin into the world. We see him tempting our Lord in Matthew chapter 4, and he is identified as the tempter. How does he tempt us? He uses the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, according to 1 John 2, verse number 15. This is why we need to be aware of what feels good, what looks good, and what makes me look good. Because that's how he tempts. That's how he works to pull us away from God. Now think about that. He is trying to pull us away from God. Do you realize that before we became a Christian, we were a part of the devil's domain. We were a part of his kingdom. A kingdom of darkness. Go back, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 2. Go back to Ephesians chapter 2. Listen to what Paul says, beginning at verse number 1. And you hath he quickened, the King James, made alive. Now listen to it. Who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Paul says, before you were made alive, you were dead. You belonged to the devil. You were part of the kingdom of darkness. You were the servant of Satan. Remember, the devil is the dark kingdom of this dark world. He's the dark kingdom's dark king. That's who you serve. You were a part of His domain. And I love the language of Colossians 1, verse number 13, where Paul says that we are delivered from darkness and we're translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son. That's why the devil wants you. You're not in his domain any longer. You belong to Christ. You have identified yourself with Christ when you obeyed the gospel. When you were baptized into Christ, the Lord added you to His church, the kingdom. That's how one is delivered from the kingdom of darkness and translated in the kingdom of God's dear Son. Write down Colossians 2, verse number 12. You see how that happens. Now our citizenship is in heaven. Ephesians 5, verse 8. Now we are children of light. No longer do we belong to the devil. At one time he had us, but he doesn't have us any longer. At one time we were a part of his kingdom, but now as children of God, we are children of light. That's why the Christian life is so challenging. He wants us back. And He is going to do everything that He can to get us back. That's why the Christian life isn't easy. That's why it is so challenging. Because of the flesh. And because of our adversary who is trying to take advantage of us. According to what Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 11. He is trying to take advantage of us. He is trying to destroy us. And so we need to be strong in the Lord. We need to put on the whole armor of God. And we need to know how to equip ourselves. That's what we'll be talking about next week. But we're emphasizing a point. This Christian life is challenging because we are fighting against the devil. And if we're going to stand against the wiles, the craftiness, against his methods, against his strategies, we need to know how the devil works. The devil tempts us, as we pointed out. He entices us with the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. He has a system, if you please, a sinful system. This system is called worldliness. That's how he attacks the children of God. And sometimes we find worldliness creeping into the church, creeping into our lives. And when that's happening, we're giving place to the devil. We're giving him an opportunity to work. We're giving him an opportunity to pull us back into his domain. And we don't want to do that. We want to keep the door shut, so we have to know how he works so we can resist him, so that we can fight against him. Part of that system that he uses is worldliness. Part of that system that he uses, and maybe we don't think about it enough, is false religion. When you read the book of Revelation, you're going to see that spiritual warfare that is going on between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of darkness. We see that war being fought in Revelation 12, verse 17. The devil is making war with the people of God. Come to chapter 13, the devil has allies. We read about that sea beast, and we read about the earth beast. When we read about that earth beast in Revelation 13, verse number 11, John describes it as a lamb that has two horns, but spoke like a dragon. Notice the imagery. A lamb, innocent, but spoke like a dragon. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 7, verse 15? Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Have you ever looked at Matthew 7 verse 15 in its context? What do you mean in its context? The small context of Matthew 7 verse 15 centers around Matthew 7 verses 13 and 14. Jesus says this in Matthew 7 verses 13 and 14. Enter ye at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. Listen to it. And many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, narrow is the way that leadeth unto life. Narrow is the way. Write down Ephesians 4 verses 1 through 4. Salvation is narrow. And I'm not the one that's saying it. Jesus is the one that is saying it. And there's perfectly nothing wrong with saying that. Salvation is narrow. One Lord, one faith, one Spirit. One. That's pretty narrow to me. Narrow is the way that leadeth unto life. Few there be that find it. Many are called, but few are chosen. My question is, why? Have you ever thought about why Jesus said that in the context? Matthew 7 verse 15. Beware of false religion. Do you realize that that broad path that leads to destruction, a lot of times we describe it as a worldly path. I would agree with that. But contextually, that wide path is a religious path. And you look at all of the religion in the world today, and the devil is convincing people and doing a good job of it that the wrong religion is the right religion. And sometimes as the body of Christ, we get dragged, as Paul would say in this epistle, we get carried about with every wind of doctrine. And Paul labels those winds of doctrine as the doctrine of devils. You can't be saved. You can't be identified with Christ if you follow a false doctrine. Jesus said in John 8, verse number 32, ye shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Dear friends, what we're talking about this morning is real to the core. There is a real war going on between good and evil. And what we're highlighting this morning is this Christian life can be a real challenge at times because of the flesh, because of the devil, and because of how he operates and because of what he does. But God gives us resources. That's the encouraging part, isn't it? God has given us resources to face everything that the devil throws at us. Concerning the flesh that we talked about, the elements of the flesh, how do we combat that? Don't make provision for the flesh where there's smoke, there's fire. Use some common sense. Think about where you go. Think about, young people, your surroundings. You know, if you are surrounded, insulated by people of the world, you're going to act like the world. Listen to what God says. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse number 33, evil communication corrupts good morals. Here's a point that I got from Stephen several years ago. You may not remember this. Show me your friends, I'll show you your life. You made that statement to me one time. I've never forgotten it, because that fits 1 Corinthians 15, verse number 33. We need to be insulated with people of God. As David said in Psalm 119, verse 63, I'm a companion of all them that fear thee and of them that keep thy precepts. We surround ourselves with people who are walking in the light. If we're insulated with that kind of influence, it's going to be a great encouragement for us individually to live the life that God wants us to live. How do we face the challenges of this life? Don't be conformed to this world. Keep yourself unspotted from this world. Don't be carried about every wind of doctrine. As we will see in our series of lessons, we have mighty weapons of war that we are to arm ourselves with. But the strength that we need to endure, it doesn't come from me. It comes from the Lord. I have to learn to rely upon the Lord. Listen to what Scripture says in Isaiah 40, verse number 31. They that wait upon the Lord shall be renewed with strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Strength, renewal comes from the Lord. When we live the life that God wants us to live as His children, if we live according to our identity, the Lord will never abandon us. Listen to Hebrews 13, verses 5 and 6. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have, for He has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That ye may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. That's the best encouragement I can give you this morning. When you live for God, He's there to encourage you. He's there to give you strength in the midst of trials. He's there to give you strength in the midst of temptation so that we will take that way of escape. 1 Corinthians 10, verse number 13. That's why it's so wonderful to be a Christian. It's because of who we are in Christ. And because we belong to Christ, we have so many resources to fall back on. And Paul wants these good brethren, and Paul wants us to understand that there is strength in the Lord. We find spiritual encouragement in Christ. Everything that we need pertaining to life and godliness has been revealed in the Holy Word of God. 2 Peter 1, verse number 3. Let me encourage you this morning to be strong. If you are growing weary, don't give up. Don't throw in the spiritual towel. Listen to what Paul says in Galatians chapter 6. Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you will reap if you faint not. Don't give up. If you're here this morning and you feel like you're about to give up, we want you to know we love you. We want you to know that God loves you. We want you to know that there are resources that you can pull from that will encourage you and strengthen you. You have God who cares for you, who loves you. As we said in Bible class this morning, we know what God is thinking toward us this morning. Thoughts of peace, not destruction. Thoughts of peace, that's what God wants me to have. That's what He wants you to have. But He's the one that provides it. We have to be willing to turn to Him. We have to be willing to come to Him. And so this morning, if you need God's help, He's here to help you. His people are here to help you and encourage you. Young people, let me encourage you to challenge yourself this week at camp to be spiritually focused, to be spiritually minded, because you can spend a whole week at camp experiencing a spiritual high, ready to face the challenges of this world, or you can go to camp and just have a bunch of fun and go home. Have some fun at camp, but don't forget the emphasis. Learn to have a spiritual mindset. If you're not a child of God, this is an opportunity for you to be baptized into Christ, to be identified with your Lord in baptism. If you are a child of God, if you need the prayers of the church, if you need God's help, again, we want you to know we're here to help you. And if you need to respond, won't you please come right now as we stand and as we sing.